One writes this related to the resurrection: your life is altered because of what you're celebrating today. This is not just a feel-good story. This is the story that rewrites your story. I pray that this morning that would settle into each and every heart in this room. As we think and as we reflect, maybe you spent some time this morning. We did this on Friday night. We remembered the cross. We remembered what Jesus endured for us there. Maybe since yesterday, this morning, you've been considering the empty tomb. Maybe you read of women that go to the tomb wondering how they're going to roll the stone away, only to find it already rolled away and the tomb empty. Maybe you read of Peter and John. Do you remember? They raced to the tomb. They couldn't believe what the women had told them. They had to sort of see it for themselves. Maybe you read, do you remember the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus and Jesus appears? And there was a sense, once they realized that it was Jesus that had been with them, did not our hearts burn within us even as he spoke to us? Maybe you've read of those things. Maybe you remember the story where Jesus is with the disciples and they're not recognizing him until he breaks the bread and blesses it. Maybe you're remembering them seeing Jesus, thinking they had seen a ghost. It's how Scripture tells us, thinking he was a ghost until he showed them his hands and his feet. All of it. It's not just something that happened back in the day. It's not just some distant, far removed from us event. It's not just some story that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us. It's not just the story at all. Rather, it's a story that rewrites our story. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Think of that for a moment. What a tragic thought. What a worrisome consideration for us. Oh, how glad we are for, in this statement, that little two-letter word, if. How glad we even more so are for Paul's conclusion later on in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But Christ has been raised from the dead. Do you understand this morning? If he's not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. If he hasn't been raised, but he has been raised. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Jesus our Lord was handed over to death because of our failures and was brought back to life so that we could receive God's approval. Listen to me this morning, you know this. He's alive. He is risen. And because he is, listen now, my brother, my sister, your faith is not futile. You are not still in your sin. You have been forgiven. You have been made right with God. You have been accepted by him. You have today. You live today in God's approval. No wonder, as an Easter people, a resurrection people, no wonder then our song is hallelujah. Hallelujah, my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah, I have been made right with God. Hallelujah, my faith in Jesus and what he accomplished for me at Calvary, it is not futile, it is not in vain. Hallelujah for that. He is risen. My story, your story, every one of us in the room, every single one of us on the planet, ours is a tragic story of sin and wickedness and rebellion against God. No one righteous, not even one of us, not even a little bit. Oh, but thanks be to God. He takes our tragic sin story and he rewrites it. He makes it a triumphant story of His grace, of His mercy, of His salvation. Paul described us in Romans chapter 5 how we used to be. We were enemies of God. Oh, how thankful we are for a cross, for an empty tomb that rewrites our story. We are not enemies anymore. We are friends of God. Listen, you know it. It's better. We are sons, daughters of God. Wow, how the empty tomb rewrites our story. You've maybe heard this expression before, that whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Listen, that's well and good. But can I tell you, there's something else as well. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of an empty tomb. You remind him that because of Calvary and a tomb that sits empty on a Sunday morning and to this very day, God has rewritten your story. That's not who you are. That's maybe who you used to be. But God has rewritten your story. An empty tomb. You don't have to tell the devil about his future, though surely you can. You can just remind him. Oh, but devil, the tomb sits empty. And because it does, my story has been rewritten. You're just talking about chapter 1, devil. You're missing chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. You just want to talk about chapter 1 where I was a sinner, an enemy of God. But you forget chapter 2 where because of Calvary and an empty tomb, He's made me His friend. He's made me to be His son. He's made me to be His daughter. You understand this morning, an empty tomb has rewritten your story. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For you've become a part of Him. So you died with Him, so to speak, when He died. And now you share His new life and shall rise as He did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with Him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. For when you're dead to sin, you're freed from all its allure and its power over you. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He can't die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. All of that, this is what Paul says. Your story has been rewritten. Your old sin-stricken and sin-loving body died with Christ. And now, because of an empty tomb, you've been raised. Not to that same old sin-stricken and sin-loving life. No, no way. You've been raised with Christ into a newness of life. Paul maybe says it best in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All these things are from God who brought us back to Himself through what Christ Jesus did. For God was in Christ restoring the world to Himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. Listen, my brother, my sister, the resurrection of our Lord, it's not just about a celebrated Sunday. It's about a rewritten story. It's about a newness of life. It's about a changed life. It's about living life different. It's about living life better. It's about living life in freedom, in victory, over temptation, over sin. Do you understand the rewritten story? The old self, the old life, the old way, it's been crucified with Christ. And the new creation has been raised with Him to new life. A new life over which sin is no longer a master. A new life that has been set free from slavery to sin. A new life that's alive to God. New life that lives for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Ours is a new life. We don't live for self, not anymore. Not for selfish gain, not for selfish pleasure. We've been set free from that so that now we might live always and only for Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Again, ours is a new life, bound no longer to the muck and the mire of this world. Instead, we're seated with Him in heavenly places, our minds and our hearts set on Him, hidden in Him. Can I simply say it this way? Because of the cross, your sins are gone. Listen, because of an empty tomb, your sins can stay gone. You can live in a newness of life. You can be a brand new person. How you used to talk isn't how you have to talk. How you used to live isn't how you have to live. The things you used to enjoy, not the things you have to enjoy still. The person that you used to be, the mean, ornery, no one really liked you kind of person. You don't have to be that person anymore. You can be made brand new. You can live in freedom. You don't have to be bound, my brother, my sister. You can live in freedom. You can live in victory. He's alive. He's risen, raised to a newness of life. Then is our destiny in Him because of Him. Even as He was raised, so we too are raised. A new life that we have, a new life that we live in. The sin, the wickedness, the condemnation, the shame no longer ruling over us. We don't belong to those things anymore. We belong to Him. His righteousness rules and reigns now in us. We don't have to, we don't let sin reign in our bodies. No, we count ourselves dead to it. In the life we live now for Him. We set our minds and hearts on the things of heaven, on the things of God, not the things of this world. The tomb is empty. And because it is, our story is rewritten, forever changed. We live above the downward pull of the sinful man that once ruled us. We live above the wickedness and rebellion and disobedience. We live in righteousness. We live in holiness. We live in purity. We say no to the sin. It's not our master anymore. In Jesus, because of an empty tomb, newness of life that is ours, we have the victory. We live in victory. We have been set free. We live in freedom. We live with a newfound, ever-enduring, and ever-sustaining hope. That's the change. That's the difference this day makes. That's the difference that an empty tomb makes, that the resurrection makes. This, the rewriting of our story. Once we were a hopeless people. Listen, don't be deceived. The world out there that lives without Jesus, a hopeless people. Our story before Jesus, a hopeless people. The rewriting of our story, though, we were hopeless. We're not that anymore. We were hopeless. Now we are always and ever hope-filled. Listen, here it is. Because no matter Friday's darkness, No matter Friday's despair, no matter Friday's crucifixion, listen, you know it, Sunday's coming. You understand our hope? Friday is never the end of the story. Not for the believer. Listen, my brother, my sister, some of you are living in a Friday. It is not the end of your story. You need to settle it in your heart. You need to take hold of this kind of hope that declares in you and over you, it might be Friday, but Sunday is coming. The tomb is empty. The tomb speaks to us of a hope that lets us to know, though it be Friday, there's a resurrection Sunday that's coming for us. Friday's never the end. Not for the Easter people. Not for the resurrection people. The date was June 18, 1815, the day of the Battle of Waterloo. It was the day when Wellington and Napoleon were locked in the heat of battle, really for all of Europe. All England specifically, breathlessly awaited word of the outcome as its future hung precariously in the balance. The forces of France under the leadership of Napoleon were fighting against the forces of England, Holland, and Germany under the command of Wellington. The news of the battle was passed across the channel by means of a visual sort of Morse code with flashing lights spelling out messages letter by letter, word by word. The message started to come back from the front lines from atop Winchester Cathedral. A sentry picked up the message and relayed it letter by letter. Wellington defeated. Just then a fog settled in on London, making it impossible for anyone to see any more signals from the tower. The people became depressed. They inched their way back home, disillusioned and defeated. The mad Frenchmen had won. No more hope, no more liberty, no more England. As suddenly as the fog came, it lifted, and the sentry returned to his post on Winchester Cathedral. He went back to his duties, feverishly attempting to transmit the full story. Wellington defeated the enemy. Isn't that the story of Jesus at the cross, his death? The message seemingly received, Christ defeated. Oh, but then Sunday comes and the tomb is empty and the full message received now, Christ defeated his enemy. Listen, it's the story of Jesus. It's the story of the resurrection. And it's your story and it's mine. Listen, our lives in Christ, this is what we discover. Where we're at now, what we're going through now. It's not the end of the story. And for that, there is a hope that we can always have. There's a hope we always ought to have. Do you understand? The resurrection of Jesus assures us that no matter how difficult, no matter how hopeless, no matter how impossible our situation would be, there is a God with whom nothing is impossible. This is the hope in which we live. Listen, my brother, my sister, for you and for me. Listen, He can reverse the irreversible. He can change the unchangeable. This is our hope. He can solve the unsolvable. He can overcome the insurmountable. He can heal the incurable. He can encourage the discouraged. He can give you joy to replace your sorrow. He can give you peace to replace your worry and fear. This is our hope. He can give you strength even when you're weak. He can restore life to the lifeless. Listen, He can loose Himself from death's grip. He can bring you out of anything. Don't you understand this morning? He can bring you out of everything that would threaten your peace, your health, your contentment. He can do the impossible for you. Listen to me this morning. There is an empty tomb that proves that He can. You would argue with your pastor this morning, oh, but pastor, I don't know about this situation. I don't know about what I'm going through. It's too difficult. It's only getting worse. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Listen, my brother, my sister, you're still stuck in a Friday, in a Saturday, but you have to understand there's a Sunday that's coming. And you would be inclined to argue this morning. You have no proof to defend your argument. And I stand this morning and declare to you the hope you can have, because the tomb is empty. He can do the impossible for you. He can turn around. He can change. He can fix. He can heal. He can help. And for that, you ought to be filled with hope. Listen. No matter what, your life may be under pressure, under attack. You may have been abandoned, struck down, afflicted, perplexed, and confused, knocked down, beat up, beat down. But this morning, the reminder of an empty tomb. God has power to put you back on your feet, give you back what the enemy has taken from you. A reminder, no matter your circumstance, in everything, God has the power to rewrite your story, to accomplish the impossible for you. And you have to know it. It's the truth this morning. For that, my brother, my sister, you ought to be filled, overflowing, even in fact, with hope. Jesus, the healer, the one who opened blind eyes and healed lame feet. Listen now, he's alive. The one who set the demonized free. He's alive. Jesus, the one who said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The one who said it because he had the authority to do it. Listen, the one whose grace is sufficient. He's alive. Jesus, the one who offered the thief on the cross a place in his kingdom. He's alive. Jesus, the one who brings restoration to the very ones that failed him. Do you remember Peter so bold? "They all might run, but I'll die with you and for you, Jesus." Only then to deny him again and again and again. Thomas doubting him, all of them running at the hour he needed them the most. Jesus, the one who brings restoration to the ones who failed him. Listen, you may feel that you have failed him. Never mind the feeling. Listen to me this morning. You may have failed him. You may have let him down this week. I'm telling you this morning. You may have denied him. Listen to me. The one who brings restoration to the very ones that failed him. He's alive. Jesus, the one who appears again to meet and to answer the doubts of a doubting Thomas. Do you have doubts this morning? You feel your doubts distance you from him? Listen, he invites you to come to him. This Jesus who meets with Thomas. "Thomas, look, my hands, my feet. Thomas, I've come to meet with you. I already showed up before. You weren't here. You could have just believed what everyone said, but you didn't. You were doubting. You were struggling. Thomas, I've come back for you so that you can see, hear my hands and my feet." You have doubts this morning. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus, the one who meets with the doubting, he's alive. You understand? No matter any of the above for you, anything in addition to the above for you, you can be filled with hope because he's alive. You can have hope for restoration and redemption, hope for help, hope for healing, for deliverance, for rescue, hope for better, for good to come, hope for today, hope for tomorrow. Listen, you may be living in a Friday, but you understand, right? Your story doesn't end on a Friday. You might be in a Friday, but be filled with hope, my brother, my sister. Sunday is coming. One writes this, "The devil's darkness and death may swagger and boast. The pains of life will sting for a while longer. But don't worry. The forces of evil are breathing their last. For he is risen." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a portion of scripture related to the resurrection story, but it is part of the resurrection story, rewriting your story from hopeless to hope-filled. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans." One writes the following, "Do this simple exercise. remove the word everything and replace it with the symbol of your tragedy in hospital visits, in funerals and funeral homes. God works for the good of those who love Him. In betrayal, in divorce, dare we have hope to believe that this verse can always be true? Even then, God works for the good of those who love Him. In seasons of loneliness and lack, discouragement, depression, despair, God works for the good of those who love Him. The author concludes, as hard as it may be to believe, no matter the symbol of your tragedy, you might only be a Saturday away from a resurrection. Do you understand? Despite how hopeless the moment may seem now, you might be only minutes away from God rewriting your story, turning all that is happening to you to the good, turning your tragedy to triumph. Listen, trouble will come. He told us in this world we're going to have trouble. Would that it just rained on the wicked. It doesn't. He said it wouldn't. It's going to rain on the unjust and the just. That's you and me. And wow, how often it rains on us, right? Raging storms, in fact. Downpours that flood our lives with hurt and with pain, with sorrow and regret, with worry and anxiousness and fear. But listen, He's alive. And so then can be our hope, no matter the trouble, no matter the storm that rages, we can be filled and overflowing with hope, closely related. But we'll make it to be another point this morning. We're not just a hope-filled people. We're a faith-filled one as well. He said that He would die. He said that He would rise again. And what He said, it's exactly how it happened. Listen, His death at Calvary, it wasn't the violence of Rome. It wasn't Jewish leaders overcome by jealousy. It wasn't the triumph of sin and evil. It was His word being fulfilled in an empty tomb. The women couldn't believe it. Neither could Peter and John, who ran to the tomb, not able to believe what the women had said. Mary shows up and actually thinks someone has taken His body and put it elsewhere. Even when everyone is saying the same thing, even after many had seen Him, Thomas said, I'm not believing it until I see it. The truth. With all due respect, they all missed it. More than once, this was the reprimand of Jesus on His people. Oh, you of little faith. On Sunday, it was still the same. Some surprise, some shock and awe kind of thing. No way. It was His word being fulfilled. Listen, you have to know this. You have to ever believe this. My brother, my sister, you have to live in the reality of this. Let your life be ever defined by this. Process everything about your life through this. Listen, His word is true. His promises can be trusted. And they're in the foundation of our faith. Listen, it doesn't matter a Friday death. He's Lord. His word is true. His promises can be trusted. In 3 days, He will rise. He will live again. Do you understand? Listen, it doesn't matter the Friday you find yourself in. Listen to me. It doesn't matter the sickness. It doesn't matter the doctor's diagnosis. It doesn't matter the brokenness. It doesn't matter the frustration. It doesn't matter the difficulty. It doesn't matter the need. It doesn't matter the lack. It doesn't matter the impossibility. It doesn't matter the anything. Listen, He is Lord. His word is true. His promises can be trusted. Listen now. And so, He is your healer. He is the lifter of your head, your comforter, your restorer, your rewarder. He is your rock, your refuge, your fortress, your strong tower. He is your helper. Listen, my brother, my sister, He is the Lord. His word is true. His promises can be trusted. He is your provider. He is your sustainer. He is all you need. In Him you have all you need. Listen, because of an empty tomb, we are a people filled with faith that believe that. Listen, can I remind you this morning, we're a walk by faith people. My brother, my sister, some of you may be walking by the Friday you can see. But you have to know this morning, the tomb in which he is laid is about to be emptied. Listen to your pastor this morning. Stop the Friday, what you can see, walking and living. Instead, live in and by the faith of a Sunday empty tomb. Maybe you can't see it, but you know it. He said it, and what he says is true. His promise, it can be trusted. The tomb will be empty. It will. He'll live again. He will. And what he said he would do for you, who he said he would be to you, he will be that and he will do that. That's the faith in which and by which we live. My brother, my sister, listen, live by that faith. Live by an empty tomb kind of faith. We finish this morning. Really, in many ways, it's this that is the real message of the resurrection, the real change, the real rewriting of our story. Because of our sin, we were once destined for death, hell, and the grave. But now, because the tomb is empty, because he lives, our story is rewritten. Listen, listen, believer in Jesus. Listen, my brother, my sister, we don't die. We live forever and ever and ever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Verse 51, listen, I tell you a mystery then. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in triumphant life. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this story of the resurrection because it's the reminder to us that in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead will be raised and we will be changed. I love this story of the resurrection because it's the reminder. Death has been swallowed up by triumphant life. I love the way the message reads, O death, who's afraid of you now? Death swallowed up by triumphant life. It's true for you and me. The fear of death is gone. We don't have to be slaves to that anymore. Because he's the resurrection and the life. And in him we have abundant life and even eternal life to come. Because to be absent from here is to be present there. To be not here with you is to be there with him. The fear of death is gone. Death has been swallowed up by triumphant life. That's what you have to look forward to one day. I love this story of the resurrection, not just for that. Wonderful as it is to know that. Not just for you and for me someday to come. I love it because it reminds us how the story has been rewritten for our loved ones that have died. Died, yet in fact didn't die, aren't dead. They live today. Our loved ones who died in Christ, they've not been lost to death. No way. Loved ones who've experienced death, They've experienced triumphant life. Let's get our words right, my brother, my sister. They've not been stunned by death. They have triumphed over death. I like how one described it. They walked into everlasting life, stepping on the doormat that is death. Nothing but a doormat for you, my brother, my sister. One day, the Lord to tarry, you might have to step on that doormat. But don't get your thoughts wrong. Don't misunderstand. You will step on the doormat as you are welcomed into God's heavenly home. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for that. We rejoice in that. Lost to death. No, no way. Not the believer. Death has been swallowed up by life. Their death, a sting to us, tragic to us. But for them, listen, it was their greatest victory. For them, it was triumph. The song says it this way. A country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending days where night will never be. A city where no storms will ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. See, it's a place where there's no misunderstanding. Out there from all enmity and strife will be free. There are no unkind words that wound the heart are ever spoken. And this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder? We'll join the throng upon the glassy sea. Listen now. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Don't you look forward to heaven, unencumbered by limitations, place of beauty and perfection, harmony and wholeness and happiness. It's peace and contentment, fulfillment, it's paradise. It's a place where we're loved the most, where we retire from the strife of this world, enjoy safety and security forever. A place of God's rule and reign, completely and entirely the place of God's presence, the place of God's glory. It's protection and provision and pleasure, the likes that we've never known on this earth. No more sin, no evil thoughts, no fear, no shame, no deceit, no disappointment, no heartache, no frustration, no unfulfilled longing. We'll live there immune to pain, disease, accident, and death. No sickness, no sorrow, no weariness, no bitterness, no cloud, no night, no anguish, no penitence, no remorse, no grave, no sigh, no tear, no sad lament, no broken heart, no deathbed scene, no more dying there. Freed from the heavy gravity of the world that pulls down our souls and draws tears from our eyes. Freed from these bodies that bend beneath the weight of sin. In sorrow, the hymn maybe sums it up the best. Heaven, oh, won't it be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful there. Do you see? Do you understand? Afraid of death? No, no way, not anymore. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive because he is. So then shall we forever live. Now, especially in light of the way things are here, the way things will be there, you sense it maybe even as I do. Oh, heaven, it's sounding sweeter, sweeter, sweeter all the time. Listen, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. He's alive. Listen, my brother, my sister. Your faith is not futile. Listen, your sins are gone. Newness of life has come. Victory has come. Our hope is secure. Our faith is unshakable. And our eternal life is guaranteed. Can I encourage you this morning? Listen, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate his resurrection. But listen, don't just celebrate it. Live in it. Let it rewrite your story. Let an empty tomb today change your life. Father, I pray this morning that you would help in that. Oh, how we celebrate today. Jesus, how we celebrate you. How we celebrate what you've done for us. how we celebrate that the tomb is empty. There's no day like today, really, in all of Christianity to celebrate. Our Jesus is alive. He is risen. We thank you for that, Lord. We rejoice in that. But I pray it. Lord, you know my heart. I pray it for my brother this morning. I pray it for my sister. I pray it for me. I pray it for Jenny. I pray it for our children. I pray, God, that you help us, that we are changed because of an empty tomb. Let there ever be the reminder of who we are in you, who we are because of you. Our faith is not futile. Our sins have been forgiven. We are a brand new creation. We have been set free. We can live in victory. Remind us of that. Newness of life has come. Our hope is secure. Let hope arise in the heart of my brother this morning. Let faith arise in the heart of my sister this morning. My brother, my sister that's stuck in a Friday, help them to live in the faith of a resurrection Sunday. Lord, remind us this morning, we don't die, we live. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Not only are we thankful for that, not only do we celebrate that, but we live in that. Our lives changed by that this morning. In Jesus' name, would you just take a moment? Would you bow your head this morning? Would you respond to the word of the Lord? Would you just take a moment? Maybe you continue to thank him for the cross, for an empty tomb. My brother, my sister, maybe you give place this morning for the Lord to remind you of newness of life that is yours. Maybe there's been some doubt. Maybe you're in the middle of some Friday discouragement. Oh, let him make hope to arise in your heart. Let him make faith to arise and be strengthened inside of you. Maybe you sense that your faith has been shaken. Let him restore to you an unshakable faith this morning. Take just a moment. Respond to the Lord. Let the Spirit speak to you. Jesus, have your way in this place. Move among us, Jesus. Speak to my brother. Speak to my sister this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus this morning, our resurrected Savior. Our resurrected Savior. The preaching this morning is worthless. Our faith is worthless. We're still stuck in our sin. If Jesus isn't alive, but he is alive. Oh, we bless the name of our risen Savior today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what an empty tomb means for us. We thank you. We thank you. Come on, you know it. Oh, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. Just praise the name of Jesus for a moment. Hallelujah. Just worship that name that's above every other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for what Jesus has accomplished for us. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. We celebrate today, and we are changed today by Jesus, his marvelous work at Calvary, breaking free from death's grip and rising in resurrected life. We thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, I declare over you on this resurrection Sunday, hallelujah, the word and the will of the Lord, that you, his people, be blessed. That you be blessed today. That you be blessed with resurrection power today. That you be blessed with resurrection hope today. That you be blessed with resurrection faith today. Resurrection newness of life today. Listen, my brother, my sister, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you. Listen now and remind you the tomb is empty. You have no need to look for the living among the dead. He is not there. He is alive. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you this morning.